I'm Nathan.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is SciFighters. Tonight, we're talking about Michael Bay versus our childhood.
Well, something like that. I guess you could say that.
I did say that. That's
but you could say it.
Said it.
Yeah, you could say it. Well, what we're talking about actually is the Ninja Turtles. So, of course, Ninja Turtles is a line that I grew up with, and by line, it's many different things: comic books, cartoons, toys,
cocaine,
five of them. but I'm not sure. But it's so much, and it's a line that franchise that really hasn't died. Every time it kind of goes away for a year or so, it always comes back. And now we actually have at least three versions of the franchise active at the same time.
Three?
We have the
comic. Is that counting the toys?
Comic book, the cartoon, and the movies that are out. So, and there's toys, but the toys are usually representative of one of those or multiples of those. There are toys out right now, currently, for the cartoon and the movies.
Yep. Yeah. So, so yeah, the new movie's coming out, and I've still not seen the first Michael Bay Ninja Turtles, in part because it just looks so bad.
So I waited a long time, and it's on Hulu and Netflix and those kinds of things. And
is it better than it looks?
It is. I mean, there are definitely issues with it. It's a fun movie. It's a little more than that. I mean, there's nothing special. It doesn't add anything to the Ninja Turtle mythos. But it's a fun movie. I mean, they took it in a direction that was, I think, still a little conservative. I don't know if I like the designs of the turtles that much. But it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's just a fun romp. And I think that's why I'm excited about this new one, because this movie, and I didn't see the first one in the theater. I kind of waited to see it. This movie, though, is the movie, I think, it's the movie that I've wanted to see since I was 9 years old.
Uh-huh. Why?
So, specifically, there are, it brings in Rocksteady and Bebop, which are, as a kid, two of my favorite characters. Krang, which is always a good thing to have, a giant brain in the torso of a robot man. and somehow they're bringing Shredder back, and these things, and I'm excited about the movie as a movie, not necessarily as a Ninja Turtle movie, but it's one of those movies that I think I'm going to be able to go in and turn my brain off for 10 minutes or for 2 hours and enjoy it and have a good time, and I'm really excited about that.
Well, but the question is, knowing how much you love nostalgia, knowing how you are with things, are you going to be able to turn your brain off for something that you grew up with? Are you going to be able to turn off that nostalgic piece of your brain?
Is this a counseling session?
No.
yeah, I mean, I the thing is, the reason I like this one, I'm a pill.
The reason that you're a pill?
The reason I'm a pill, yeah. the reason that this one appeals to me more than the first one did is because of the nostalgia. Because they brought back Rocksteady and Bebop, they brought back Krang, and they've done it in a way that's very reminiscent of the 80s and 90s cartoon. It's not as reminiscent of the other versions. To me, they're making a movie of that cartoon. And the reason it appeals to me is because of the nostalgia. Is it going to be different? Is it going to be a bunch of set pieces to have explosions in it? Yes.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be... I could imagine it, I think. I mean, I haven't seen it yet. It's not out yet. But a kid going into this movie is just going to go away just so excited about it.
Well, but do you think that it's going to be kid-friendly? Like, that's one of the things.
Well, I will say, the last Transformer movie that Michael Bay did was not kid-friendly. I didn't think. Any movie that, if my memory serves, I mean, it has the F-bomb in it,
yeah.
Which I question, like, why that's in there if it's a kid's movie.
Well, Transformer 2 just has rampant racism, so...
And testicles.
Yes. It's so ridiculous.
I'm not... But, no, I have seen it, but see, I saw it years after it came out.
That's the thing. You know, I was thinking about this when we decided this episode was going to be about Ninja Turtles. I was thinking about all of these other cartoons that we grew up with and the movie versions of them. So Transformers, G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, whatever.
Well.
And, don't worry, we'll get back to your points. And the thing that's so weird is, are those movies made for the kids who grew up with them as adults, or are they made to try to bring in a new kid audience? Because they're sort of somewhere in between, you know? Like,
I think it's a happy medium, especially these. You have to remember, the Ninja Turtles, though, is a franchise that's been started out as a comic book. It turned into a comic book that was not geared towards kids.
Oh, no, the comic book was not kid-friendly at all. But everything that has come after that 80s cartoon...
But it's not always the 80s cartoon. There's also the cartoon that came out in the 2000s, and then there's the modern cartoon. You've literally got three decades worth of people who grew up with this show.
But that's the thing. Like, kids who are watching the Nickelodeon cartoon now...
Yes.
They're not... I say they're not going to want to. Do you think kids now that are watching the Nickelodeon cartoon are going to want to see the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles?
I'll say this. For any other reason, go back.
It's Ninja Turtles. I want to see it.
Go back. Well, yeah. I mean, isn't that enough reason, though? If you go back to 1988, so the Ninja Turtle, or maybe it was 89, Ninja Turtles was on. And then they did the Jim Henson movie. Jim Henson did the... Or the Henson Company. I don't think it was Jim Henson, but the Henson Company did...
Kermit was way more intense.
Did the Ninja Turtle movie. That movie was not the cartoon. But every kid wanted to go see that movie.
Right.
And at the same time, of course, back then, the other big thing that you had at that time is... this was late 80s... arcades were still pretty big deal, or at least arcade machines. So you'd go to Pizza Hut and you'd play the Ninja Turtle video game. You could interact with it that way. You went and played the video game, and then you went to see the movie.
Yeah.
And
but back then, it felt like the movie was geared towards the kids. Maybe a little bit.
I mean, had curse words in it. It had. It had the turtle. It was. I mean, it was based on the comic book.
Yeah.
I mean, it was right off the pages of the comic book, not the cartoon. It was a much. If you go back and watch that, it's a very.
I do go back and watch it.
As do I.
On a regular basis.
I love that. I love it. I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies. Sam Rockwell's in that movie.
He is. A very bit part.
Yeah, so, regular or menthol? That's his line. Actually, he had a couple lines, but that was one of them.
Ridiculous.
But yeah, I think it is... I think this movie is in a way where it can kind of like throw gags to the kids... But it really, but under that are those gags to the parents and to the people who are grew up with the Ninja Turtles, and I think they're going to do that really well in this movie. Like I just have a feeling there's gonna be a lot of like throwback to that. I mean, Baxter Stockman's in this movie, so you get all kinds of different. All these characters are gonna come. Now, to answer your question, though, I do believe there's a time. Or there's a point where it becomes a little ridiculous, because we're talking about toy movies and cartoons into movies. In the 80s, there were all kinds of cartoons that were out, and some of them had toys, some of them didn't. And for the most part, Hasbro now owns those, the ones that were based on toy lines, because they bought out Kenner and all that. So Hasbro is doing the Hasbro Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this?
I've not.
So, there's the two G.I. Joe movies.
Mm-hmm.
It will exclude the Transformers. The Transformers will not be included in this Hasbro Cinematic Universe. So, the two G.I. Joe movies will happen. They're going to bring in, and I'll miss some of them, but I believe they're bringing in Mask. They're bringing in the Visionaries. They're bringing in Micronauts. And... I've not looked at it in a while. And then I think two other properties. These are properties that no one's even heard about.
Yeah.
In 30 years. Specifically kids. I mean, people my age, yes, absolutely. And they're ripe for creating this kind of stuff. But my question's going to be if they're going to use them as just properties, or if they're going to use them as properties to launch toy lines. They haven't done a lot with toy lines for the G.I. Joe movies.
Oh, I know, and it makes me sad, because I love G.I. Joe.
Which is sad, because it's a toy company. I mean, they'll do like one or two waves, and I guess they just do so poorly they don't continue with it. But I'm not sure where they're going with it, but they're going to mash them all together, and you're going to have Matt Tracker from Mask be, like, Mask will be a unit of G.I. Joe or something like that, and the Visionaries would be a unit of, which has already been done. They made a Matt Tracker figure to kind of, like,
bring them into that. I don't know how I feel about that.
And then the Visionaries will probably be, like, the mystical side of G.I. Joe. They'll probably tie them all into the same thing. Micronauts, I'm not sure about. Like I said, I think they're missing the boat by not including the Transformers in the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
But I say all that to say that's for the fans. Unless they're trying to just really launch a new toy line. Toy lines aren't made for kids anymore, which I think is incredibly sad.
Well, I mean, we were talking about that.
I mean, some of them are. I mean, there's some. The Ninja Turtles line that's out right now is one of the best toy lines, like true, honest to goodness toy lines, to come out in years.
Yeah.
Like toys that kids want to play with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were talking about that earlier, and I know the value of a dollar's changed in the last 20 years, but I remember being a kid. And you pick up a G.I. Joe for like $3 or $4. You get Star Wars figures for $3 or $4. Now you go to Walmart and it's like, all right, $13 for just one of the 5-point articulation. And it's, why are they so expensive? Who are they trying to market with this stuff? Is it for the kids or for the people who
grew up on it? Or has inflation just come up that much? I mean, you know, it wouldn't have been a thing back in the 80s to go and say, hey, I'm going to get like 3 action figures today.
Yeah.
And for $7, you could probably get 3 action figures. Now
it's like, do I want 3 action figures or do I want to eat this week?
Yeah, or would I rather have a video game or something like that? And part of that is because kids aren't buying toys and they're not buying, so they're selling less and therefore making less and therefore the cost goes up. But at the same time, you talk about Star Wars figures, the 5-point articulated figures. For Star Wars figures, the 3¼-inch figures are like $7.99.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, well. But our where we live, our Walmart, have not brought any new figures out in months. It's the same figures. So no one's buying them because they already have those. So they produce too many. But they're not putting any new ones on the shelf because there's too many on the shelf. So, they might have some in the back, but you'll never know because they're not going to get put on the shelf until someone buys the ones on that shelf, or they decide to clear some out.
Yeah. You should just go in and move all of them off the shelf. Just scatter them about the store. See if that'll make them put out new ones.
Right. But speaking of toys and adults and all that, I mean, the adult toy lines.
that is not what this podcast is about.
No. Those adult collector's toy lines are all over the shelves now, too. And they mix them in with the same lines that the kids get. So, you know, you have these, you know, multi-point articulated figures next to the 5-point articulated figure or whatever. And, you know, they're crazy expensive. So people go down the toy aisle and say, man, everything's $20 for an action figure. Well, yes, but those are collector's figures. And so, I mean, they just released going back to Ninja Turtles, they just released the Secret of the Ooze collector's figures. And they come with multiple heads and all this. It's really neat. But the boxes are huge.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just gigantic.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like jumping around a little bit, it doesn't seem like toy lines are quite as expansive as they used to be. Like,
they're really
maybe,
not.
I maybe mean, it's just because when I was a kid, you know, Toy Story seems so much bigger because, you know, proportion, all that. But, like, I remember going into Toys R Us and being, like, two or three aisles of G.I. Joe. Two or three aisles of Transformers. Like, it seemed like there was
part of that's just nostalgia going back.
Like I said, some of it could just be that. But, like, now you go in, and granted, Walmart is not a toy store, but you go to Walmart, they have, like, four or five types of figures.
Right.
You know, it doesn't seem like there's that same.
Well, the other thing
that, expansiveness.
The other thing that's occurred is within the toy lines. So if you go back to the Star Wars then, 90s Star Wars figures, or 80s rather, 80s Star Wars figures. So you had different things. So you had your basic figure, just 3 1/4 inch figure. Then you had something that was a little bigger than that. You'd have. Like a monster or something. So you had a Wampa or a Tauntaun or something like that. Then you had vehicles. Then you had the Rancor. And you had all these things. So there are different levels. It wasn't just like this basic figure. So now you go to a toy line and you might still have vehicles and things like that. And they might even class the vehicles out based on price point. But what they don't have is varying scales. So I think it would be amazing if, like, Ninja Turtles, for instance, had your Ninja Turtle figures. And then you had a figure like a Rocksteady that's much, or a Slash, which is a much bigger figure. But instead, they have to scale that figure down. So in the end, he's even smaller than the Ninja Turtles are. But if they had, like, two different scales, like the regular scale and the big scale, that was in scale with the regular one, they were just larger, you could do so much. I mean, it would just leaves for a lot of variety. Yeah. And not just, well, here are the figures. Here's the basic figure. This is what they look like.
You know, one of the other things that that I was thinking about when you were talking about what they don't have, something else that they don't have right now is toy commercials. Maybe it's because I just don't watch as much TV. They do a little bit of that,
but yeah.
But yeah, like I remember, again, nostalgia, kid, whatever. Like, I remember specific commercials. I remember, like, seeing a commercial, like, oh, I need to go get that. You know, I remember the Ninja Turtles, their little Volkswagen bus thing that they had.
The party wagon?
The party wagon. I was about to call it the Shaggin' Wagon. It's like, no, no, that's not right. I remember...
April O'Neil has a whole new meaning.
Uh-huh. I remember the blimp. I remember the commercials for all those things and seeing, like, oh, man, I gotta go get those. You know, like, they would have the animation that would cut into the kids playing it. And then, and like, watching all those commercials, it made me want those toys. You know, there was the, like, the Detective Series line. There was the, like, the Party Series. Like, one of them had Michelangelo in an inner tube.
You know, in those Ninja Turtle, I was actually watching some, like, 90s commercials a few weeks ago, because that's what I do.
Right.
It starts out with, like, a news desk or something, and it's, like, live action, and it has Michelangelo at a news desk, and he's like, this is coming in for you, it's sports, or whatever, and it does the, it had the sports figures, and they would do their action figure, and then when they come back, it's like, go get them now, or whatever.
Yeah, and like, they never did any sports-type stuff on the show. It was purely, you know what, let's take these figures, put them in some sports costumes, and sell them.
But or when they dress them up as Star Trek characters.
Yeah, but like, the commercials were able to sell them.
Yeah.
Like, now, there's no commercials for them. You just go to the store, and it's like, oh, I watched this cartoon, here are toys of this cartoon. And, like, I really think that comes back to that question that I asked earlier of, is this for kids or is this for adults? So, you know, the new Ninja Turtles movie. Is it being marketed to kids or adults? Because what adult, aside from people like us that watch old nostalgic commercials, what adult watches commercials? You know, we skip past everything. We DVR, we watch online. We don't watch commercials anymore. And that's how you get kids to buy things, is during cartoons that they would watch, you show them commercials, so that way when they're at the store with their parents, they won't stop crying until they get what they want.
Here's the difference. Is that we are living in an era where there's only one commercial. And that's the commercial. Well, that's the commercial for the movie or the TV show. TV show or the movie is the commercial for the toys. And yeah, but therefore, I mean, my favorite thing when I was growing up would be you'd go to a movie and you're like, oh man, I want to go to the store and I want to get a toy from this movie. Like, that's what, to me, movies and toys go hand in hand.
Right.
For that reason. So the idea is you get the kids hyped up to go see the movie, which I honestly don't think they've done a good job with this Ninja Turtle movie, because I've not seen any commercials for it.
Yeah.
I go and look for the commercials, so the movie may not do well with kids. I think it'll do well with other, but just because I don't think kids know about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of it also has to
do with... Or maybe it's also that I don't watch shows kids watch, and they maybe are showing commercials.
See, at that point. I don't think so. Like, the previews that I've seen for it are still, like, the big blockbuster type of previews.
Yeah.
They're not the, hey, kids, do you like watching the Ninja Turtles?
Well, they don't come watch do that. Now. They don't do those kinds of commercials anymore, no matter what it is. It's still, I mean, and that's, you have a point. I mean, it's an action movie, but, I mean, we're getting to a point where the comic book movies, and not to make a point about anything or anything, but, I mean, they're not necessarily kid movies. I'm not saying they should be.
But I do feel like at least the Marvel movies, and we're not going to get back into the Marvel versus DC, but I do at least feel like the Marvel movies are not targeting kids. Like, I feel like the Marvel movies are targeted for adults.
Maybe right, well, that's my point.
They keep them family-friendly, yeah. They keep them kid-friendly, but watching those movies, watching the previews, it is very clear... These are for adults who have grown up enjoying this and now want to see a sort of realistic, faithful interpretation in movies. But some of these other properties, you know, like with G.I. Joe. Love G.I. Joe. The first movie, I still haven't gotten around to seeing the second one.
But I think the second one's a better movie.
Probably. I enjoyed the first one, not because it was a nostalgic, like, oh man, love G.I. Joe, this is G.I. Joe, this is awesome. More so because I knew that the director was the same guy who did the Mummy movies. So I was going in with that mindset of, oh, okay, it'll be fun, maybe some cheesy graphics, maybe some light action. All right, yeah, sure, fine, whatever. But watching that movie, it was never really clear to me, is this supposed to be for people who grew up on it, or is this supposed to be for new kids? And that's that same thing, and I'm beating a dead horse at this point, but with Ninja Turtles, God, I really don't know who they're trying to get with that.
And you never will until they get Vanilla Ice in there.
Now, if they brought him back...
He would just be building houses, though? Like, they're like, we need a renovation in our sewer.
Halfway houses. Wait, no, that's what he would be living in.
But you know he does that, though, right?
What, builds houses?
He builds houses. He has a TV show.
Of course he does.
Where he builds houses, or renovates houses, I guess. He does construction, he thinks.
I don't even know what to do with that.
It's the truth. I just wish he sang while he did it.
I just wish that every single time that he...
Go, Ninja, go.
No. I want him every time that he meets with the people to be like, all right, stop. Collaborate. Let's listen. And then goes into what it is that they're going to do.
Yes.
Yeah. And then whenever he's feeling like he doesn't have enough time, like, all right, I'm feeling under pressure. I mean, no. That's not... I came up with that. Me. The under pressure.
The court said I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, Ninja Turtles. Yeah. I've not actually watched the preview. I've not watched it. I've seen it a couple of times, but it's been a while. I don't remember seeing Krang in the preview.
It shows like his eye. Now, here's an interesting thing, though. Do you know who's... And this may not mean anything to you, but do you know who's gonna... Who they got to voice Krang?
Nick Cage.
No. Fred Armiston.
I think that I remember hearing that.
Yeah, so... But the thing is, the movie was made before they even cast him. Like, the movie was, like, done. Like, they only cast him, like, 2 months ago. well, publicly cast them. I mean, I'm sure they were in negotiations, but yeah. That's the thing with CG. You don't need an actor, like, to do that. I mean, oftentimes, you would, I mean, you, I don't know what they're going to do, and maybe they don't show his mouth moving or something.
Obviously, they had the dialogue beforehand.
Sure, but it doesn't mean that that's going to be the way he's going to deliver it. And also, I mean, it depends on how, and that's the question, is what Krang, that's the one thing we don't really know much about this movie, is how Krang's going to be, if he's going to be more like the kind of croaky Krang from the not 90s cartoon, if he'll be the more droning Krang from, like, with Gilbert Gottfried voicing him, because Gilbert Gottfried voices one of the Krang in the new TV series.
Mm-hmm. Well, that in the first one, because I've not seen the movie yet. Did they set it up to where there's room for all of this craziness?
No, not really. I mean, here's my biggest problem with the first movie. So you get spoilers if you haven't seen it. But
fine.
So you find out that Splinter and the Turtles were laboratory animals.
Right.
Who were being worked on by April's father.
Right.
And this other guy who is kind of the villain. Not Shredder. But I think he was going to be Shredder, and then it got such a backlash that they changed it.
Yeah. He was supposed to be Shredder. Like, I
but
do
the way it came out, that. Yeah, he was. And he then was they changed it. So, anyway, so that happened. So they get out. There's a fire, and they all escape. And then there's ooze, and the rest is history. But as that's happening, as they're growing up and turning into kids, a book of ninjutsu comes through the sewer. Splinter gets it and reads it. Learns how to be a ninja from a book. So my question...
Oh, it's The Matrix.
But here's my question in all of this. That's all... Okay, I can almost suspend my disbelief about that. Okay, it's implausible, but okay. He's some rat.
Mutated rats, I'm okay with that. But someone learning ninjutsu from reading, that's bullcrap.
No, but okay, so I can, okay, let's say they get that.
Uh-huh.
Where did they get their weapons? Are people in New York just flushing katanas down the toilet?
Oh man, if you only knew. That's...
I mean, not just katanas. These katanas are nice. Like, there's some nice katanas.
Yeah. I like how that's the part where you're like, alright, I'm having some disbelief there. My big problem with that, there's no backstory. There's no reason for there to be...
No, there really isn't. And I think they could have done... I mean, you're like, well, it takes time, but I feel like you could give some kind of backstory with a couple sentences and be like, well, I'll explain later. And just be like, yeah, there's a backstory. I was a Japanese dude, and then I got... mutated into this rat dude, and you were these four turtles dudes, and we just...
You're just going to say dude every other word.
Yeah, I am.
And at least in the movie from the 80s, as ridiculous as it
Which
was
right out of the comic.
But as ridiculous as it was to see little Rat Splinter practicing the ninja moves before the ooze.
Right.
Like, yeah. Ninja Splinter was before the ooze fell on him. He was still up there... being old Rizzo the Rat practicing ninja moves.
Or being Splinter the Rat.
But at least with that, there was the backstory of, oh, Shredder killed his master, and so now he's seeking revenge. Fine. Classic revenge story. I'm okay with that. But it doesn't seem like there's any drive in the first one.
That's the biggest problem that I have with the movie. I mean... there's no connection, and maybe there would have been had they not changed that whole Shredder thing that they were going to do. Maybe there would have been some kind of connection, but I feel like it's all lost.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, and again, even in the 80s movie, like, there was this weird ooze that came from something. So you knew this CCRI. Thing's out here. Right. But the point, the first movie never says anything about it. So you don't know what it is. You don't know what the ooze is, which is why you have the secret of the ooze. And you start sort of building that universe and having the other characters come in, and it makes sense. In the cartoons, you have Krang and Dimension X, and so there's plenty of room for all kinds of crazy stuff. The current Nickelodeon cartoon is amazing. One of the best cartoons out there right now.
Really good.
Oh, man, I love it. But everything that they do opens it up for the next thing that can happen. And it's great. With this movie, where are Bebop and Rocksteady coming from? Where's Krang coming from? Like, is there a Dimension X, or is just everyone in New York going ooze crazy?
I believe there probably is, because Krang's an alien.
Which would have tied in with what Michael Bay originally wanted to do, where they weren't teenagers, they weren't ninjas, they weren't turtles, they weren't mutants, they were just aliens with magical ninja powers.
Yes. So, do you know the story about how they were, the Ninja Turtles were kind of created, that whole ooze thing, how that came about?
In which version?
Originally, like comics.
No.
When Eastman and Laird were doing it. So, you see a kid. I might get some of this wrong, but there's a guy walking across the street. There's a,
there's Daredevil.
Toxic.
I know that much.
This is where I'm getting. So, this truck goes by, and there's, this toxic canister comes out, hits a guy in the face, goes down onto the ground, falls into the sewer, and breaks.
Right.
So, the idea is, Daredevil, Matt Murdock, was blinded by a truck driving by, a toxic canister coming out, hitting him in the head, and then rolling off. So the idea is that they were going, and they pitched it to Marvel. And Marvel's like, no way are we going to ever do anything like this. Biggest mistake they ever made.
Yeah, because we all know how much Marvel's hurting now.
Yeah, but think about what they could be doing if they hadn't passed that up. Although I think the characters would be horrible, and they'd be part of the Marvel Universe, and would just be bleh.
Yeah.
But yes, so, just a thing. Just a fun little story.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wasn't there some crossover between the Ninja Turtles and the Battletoads? Or am I just bringing back in my own fan fiction?
No, Battletoads being a ninja, it was actually a Ninja Turtle ripoff, from TV. Well, there was a cartoon of it. It was like one episode.
There was a video game of it.
There's a video game. It was a video game, and they made the cartoon based on the video game. Lots of things like that, though. In the 90s, there were like, in the 80s, I actually, this weekend at the yard sale, I picked up a comic called, what was it? It was Adolescent Something Samurai Hamsters. I mean, they would just do that. I mean, Biker Mice from Mars.
Yeah. Sharks.
Street Sharks.
See, now, that's what I want to see. I want to see movies of all of those ripoffs of just weird mutated alien animals with special powers. You know, where are the Street Sharks movies? Where are the Biker Mice from Mars movies?
No one wants Biker Mice from Mars movies.
I would watch it. You hear that, Michael Bay? Get on it. I want a Biker Mice from Mars and Street Sharks crossover. You can get Ian Ziering
to
voice
one
of the Street Sharks.
Do you even know who the Biker Mice from Mars are?
They're Biker Mice.
Do you even remember the show, though?
I remember it. Vaguely. Look, just because I remember things doesn't mean that I have to be an expert on them. What? Ashley is giving me a look while he is playing with his enormous iPad. Rather than focusing on the microphone that's in front of him.
I'm focusing, all right.
Because we all know how well drawing translates into podcasting.
Yes, I know. Anyways, yes. So Yeah, so the Ninja Turtles had that. Lots of knockoffs, lots of ripoffs, things like that coming from it. And but even in the line itself, it gets so convoluted because you have all these characters. But one of the neat things about that was happening back then, you had so many of these independent artists that were willing to kind of cross over and help each other. So you get appearances in the cartoons by Usagi Yojimbo, and you have Cerebus in the comics. He may have been in one of the cartoons. He wasn't in the original cartoon, though.
I do not know the Cerebus.
That you Cerebus, you would probably really like Cerebus. He's a. He's
do you mean the three-headed dog? No. Like Cerberus?
No. Cerebus is a an aardvark living in
Manhattan,
medieval somewhere, and he's a barbarian. It's pretty great. He was an independent comic that was out previous or before the Ninja Turtles, but they were good friends with him. The guy that created him.
Well, the Ninja Turtles were good friends with the aardvark?
Well, yes, in one of the comics. He comes through time. Or they come through time. I don't remember which.
Of course they do.
Which leads me to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Which is on Netflix
right now. Which is on Netflix right now, and I watched it this weekend. I have not seen that movie since it was in theaters.
Does it hold up?
It didn't hold up then.
Well, you know how, like, sometimes when you're a kid, you watch something like, oh, man, that sucks. You go back, you rewatch it. It still sucks, but there's enough time removed that it's almost humorous rather than, like, the movie that destroyed the series. It's
well,
just,
I don't think it ever was the movie that destroyed the series. I think it was a...
I was saying with just that ominous tone because...
Yeah, but, I mean, I think it was more just a movie that... it just wasn't that good. I mean, they tried to do a lot of things in it. It could have been any movie, really. There are so many other stories that could have been told with the Ninja Turtles, and I'm not really sure if it was a budgetary thing or what, but it just wasn't... I don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be, but it wasn't good. You should watch it.
Everyone should watch it.
It's the weakest of the three.
It's the one where they go back in time. Well, and the weird thing about that, medieval like, I Japan. Remember, I remember being a kid, and...
I remember when Rock was young. Me and Susie had so much fun.
I hope that sigh was audible enough for everyone. I remember at the time, like, people thinking that Turtles 3 was just ridiculous. And the irony of that, it's a story about mutated ninja turtles and all of this other wany, wacky, zany craziness, but somehow traveling in time. Oh no, that's just too far-fetched.
I don't remember.
That's where we lose people.
I don't remember the reactions.
I remember the reactions more than the movie.
I don't remember that in this case. But at this point, when that movie came out, which I guess was 93?
But we were getting older.
You know, at that point, I was like 13, and I had moved on to other things. So, I remember seeing the movie. My dad took me, and my brother, and I think some of my cousins, and, I mean, we had a good time, I guess, but it wasn't, I mean, it's not a movie that I've been dying to see. Now, I have, the ironic part is I'm pretty sure I have it on DVD. Because why? I got a set of... like, all four movies.
Right.
Because they did the first one, the second one, the third one, and then that one, the one that came out in, like, 2007 that was
the animated
one, but it actually is a sequel to those movies. I've not seen that one either. But those movies, I had, the first two movies I love. I grew up with them. The first movie is one of my all-time favorite movies. And then the second movie, I enjoy it. If you notice in the second movie, they don't use their weapons.
At all?
At all. I read that, and I'm like, no, that's not true. And I went back and watched it. They use, like, sausages and mops.
I think that you're watching a different movie.
Leonardo uses his weapon to, like, cut pizza or something. But he doesn't, they don't use their weapons during all the big fight scenes. They use things around them. They got so much, they got in trouble. I mean, they got their wrists slapped by the public saying that they were too violent.
Yeah.
Which I think is...
Well, it's because the cartoon at the time was a kid's cartoon.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, and they've referenced that the original Ninja Turtles from the cartoon came back in the new series a couple weeks ago. And
it's been a few months ago at this point. Like, I... pretty sure it's been a lot longer than just a few weeks.
It was April. I mean...
O'Neill?
No, it was in April.
O'Neill?
Yes. Regardless, it wasn't too long ago.
Right.
And it came back, and they come in, and they... The new turtles go to the 2D reality of their world, and they
I'm just thinking of the one where, like, they're peering in through Dimension X, and they see...
Although there's a... That, the older ones. That ends that way. No, this one, they actually have a full episode where they meet each other.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've not seen that one. I missed that
and, one. It's pretty good. It's fun. And there's a part where, like, they're using their weapons to, like, open up fire extinguishers and stuff. Or not fire extinguishers, but those things that are on the side that you plug water hoses into.
Fire hydrants?
Fire hydrants. But they don't, and they just use their weapons, like, to, like, scare them. And the new Ninja Turtles are like, what is happening? And then they just start, like, beating things with their weapons. And they're like, hey, you can't do that. So they have this kind of conversation about... Because the 90s was a much different time.
Yeah.
In the way those kinds of things were perceived.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like with G.I. Joe, they had tanks and rockets and lasers. And nothing ever hit anything. Like, with as much cannon fire as there was, how did no one ever get hit?
Well, I'll tell you this. Red lasers are a quarter of the battle. Blue lasers are a quarter of the battle. Learning is half the battle. Knowing.
Yes. Knowing. Not learning.
Not knowing. Learning. Knowing. Knowing is half the battle.
Yeah, because apparently it doesn't matter whether or not you learn. It matters whether or not you already know.
Yeah. But, yeah, and they never hit anything.
Yeah.
They might blow up a tank or something by mistake.
Yeah. So unrealistic.
Cobra's looking for a mass device. No. But yeah, I mean, you've got... hopefully this movie will be a lot of fun.
He says as he yawns.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's... whatever.
So speaking of Michael Bay, so he produces this movie. He's not directing this movie.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't direct the first movie. He produced it, I believe. Maybe he did direct it. If he did, he directed it with someone else. But he is doing a fifth Transformer movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to see how that goes. I think it comes out next year. They released the title this last week. And it...
The Death of Optimus Prime.
No.
The Explosion of Cybertron.
No. It was really kind of...
Anticlimactic.
No, that would be good though.
Revenge of the Clones.
Yes, why not?
Beast Wars. Now that would be a good movie. I would love to see a Beast Wars movie. With today's graphics, and that would be some good stuff.
The Last Knight. Transformers 5, The Last Knight.
Did the Strokes sing the theme song?
Last Night.
Megatron said.
Apparently, I'll just look this up real quick. This is interesting, because I remembered one of the other groups, one of the other things that they're going to make in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Marvel or Hasbro?
Hasbro. I'm just used to saying Marvel Cinematic Universe. Rom the Space Knight. You may remember that from the stack of comics sitting on my desk.
And it would make sense why you would say Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right. There's some rumor, I'm looking here real quick.
Don't you mean some Rommers?
So, yes, that Rom might be the last knight. They might be bringing Rom into the Transformers universe, which is interesting because that means they might be combining, they might be trying to find a way to combine the cinematic or the Hasbro Cinematic Universe and Transformers, which makes sense. I think Transformers should be in that universe.
Yeah.
I really doubt that's going to happen. And his name, Rom, is Rom the Space Knight. So, could be interesting. He's a robot. They're robots.
I thought he was just the first half of a romantic comedy. Rom the rom-com. Why not?
Although, when you hear, when they talk, when he talks over a communicator, it's Rom on the com.
No. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see a Transformers Beast Wars movie. Did you ever used to watch that show?
I watched it a little bit. I was in high school at that point, and we didn't get the channels very well. So,
yeah, I was in. How were you in high school? I was only in middle school at the time. Like, I remember. Every morning before I had to run to catch the bus.
Well, I'm sure it was on. I just wasn't. It came on at a time where I didn't have access to it or something like that.
It was in the morning. It was like, yeah. 7 or 7:30. I think it came on at 7. I was supposed to be at the bus stop at like 7:25, and it was always like I can get to the end of this episode and still make it on time. I think I only missed the bus once. And it was just like, well, guess I'm sick today. But yeah, no, that was a great show because it was essentially Transformers had like crash landed on this planet, this uninhabited planet with just animals,
which was Earth.
And it was actually something weird. Like there was some other weird.
Well, it connects in with the G1.
Yeah,
because it's the Ark. The Ark is there from G1.
Yeah,
so the Ark crashes at the beginning of the first episode of Transformers. Into a side of a mountain, a volcanic mountain, and everything's dormant. So everything grows up around it, and then they wake up one day. And in this story, it's like before they woke up, but there's some stuff that kind of leaks out and affects animals.
Yeah. Well, and then like there's other Transformers that were like crashed there for whatever reason. It's always so weird when just one random Transformer pod would just crash land on the planet. Just, oh, I guess
we're going to Well, somehow they incorporated, like, the ghost of Starscream.
Yeah.
So they brought back characters and things like this, so it's really cool.
Yeah.
I liked it. I didn't watch it a lot.
It still holds up. I mean, you know, whatever. It's a cartoon. Obviously, there's not going to be a whole lot of uber violence or whatever, and it's still kind of cheesy. But I've gone back and watched a few episodes and like, you know what? I would still watch this. You know, if I had kids, I'd probably let them watch it. Of course, I'd be a horrible parent, but still. You know, let them watch that and Last House on the Left. It'll be fine. They'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thought I had another question. I don't think that I do. What is it about the turtles that you love so much?
I don't know. I mean, I think I've liked them differently for different reasons. They were just a lot of fun when I was a kid. I mean, the toys were fun. You had all these different animals. You didn't have, like, it wasn't a line full of just people. You had rock soldiers and moose people and fish people.
Rock soldiers and moose people.
Oh, you know. just a lot of fun things. And, again, it has that nostalgic element for me. I mean, I can tell you where I got my first Ninja Turtle figure.
Where'd you get your first Ninja Turtle figure?
It was in Chattanooga. My aunt and uncle and cousin taking me out for some reason. But we went to a movie, and they took us to a toy store, which would have probably been like KB Toys and Hamilton Place Mall. And they got us a toy. Like, they got my cousin something, and they got me something. And I go in, and I see these Ninja Turtles. They're this... this display, and it was just the first ones, so it was like, it was the first run of them, so it would have been like the Four Turtles, April, Splinter,
Shredder,
Foot Soldier, Rocksteady, and Bebop, and I knew nothing about the Ninja Turtles. Like, at this point, I don't think I had ever seen a cartoon episode. I had seen the toy commercials. Again, those toy commercials.
Right?
Yeah. And,
the commercials would draw you in.
So, and I got a... say I hadn't seen the cartoon. I may have, but it would have been only, like, the first five episodes that they did. Because they did that... First season was, like, five episodes.
Yeah.
And I'd probably just seen it in passing if I had seen it. But I got Leonardo, because I like swords. And right. Swords seem cooler than the other things, for whatever reason. Of course, I come out from being a huge He-Man fan. Everything's based on swords and He-Man.
So you don't like Donnie just hitting things with a stick?
Right. So I got Leonardo, and I got him, and he had a squishy head. So he had the soft head, the soft plastic they did originally. And it just kind of started from there, and I just loved it. Like, I love the fact that it had all these pieces, because when they first came out, they all had this little weapons rack that you had to, like, cut the weapons off of, and they had, like, two throwing stars and some other weapons, and they had their regular swords or whatever they came with, and they had all this, and I just remember thinking it was the coolest thing. And it was all on this little weapons rack that you could set this stuff up on. And it was just so cool. And I remember that was like a Saturday night. And I just remember, like, may have even been a Friday night. It probably was a Friday night. To date it, if someone wanted to go back and date it, I could tell you the exact day it was. It was the premiere date of the Hulk movie, the one that was on TV. Hulk, when they were doing movies of those, that Thor was on it. So you could probably go back and find that exact release date. Because I remember coming home and showing my dad, and him being like, be quiet, Thor's on the TV. So
that explains so much.
Yeah, it really does. And I just, I don't know, a very vivid memory in my head. And I think that's one of the things that kind of just appealed, that appealed to me as a child. Of course, I didn't know about the comic books or anything about that at that point. I just remember the Ninja Turtles were a huge deal. I mean, at that time, everything, Ninja Turtles were on everything. My life was Ninja Turtles at that point in my life. I didn't have anything that I'd really gleaned onto from probably, like, 87 or 88. Because at that point, like, the He-Man line was dwindling. And I was probably not doing a lot of, like, stuff with He-Man at that point. So in 88 or 89, when those toys hit, when I finally got them, I really jumped on them. And that was my thing for the next several years. For a long time.
How many of the original toys do you still have?
Well, right now, I have a whole lot.
How many of your original toys
do you still have? I don't have many of them. I think there's a tub. We sold a bunch of those a few years ago, my brother and I. Before we were vending, we went to a vendor and sold buckets of them. I mean, like, tubs of them. Which was of that stuff and some other stuff. But, I kind of regret that. But I've picked up a lot of the figures that I really like. I think I kept my original four turtles.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin broke that original Leonardo that I had years ago. like, twisted his leg off. Oh, man, I was so mad. But I think I still have that Leonardo, broken leg and all. But, yeah.
You know, I think that I only ever had, like, three Turtles figures.
Makes sense.
I had... who did I have? I had the, like, undercover detective Donnie, like, yep. Trench coat.
I have one of them right now.
I had...
He came with a briefcase with a slice of black pizza in it.
Mm-hmm. That pizza looked disgusting. I had... It was either Michelangelo or Donatello. The back that you could open up.
Oh, yeah. And store stuff. Show.
I had the Michelangelo with the inner tube. And then I had... Was it Slice? Was that his name?
Slash?
Slash, yeah.
The like, blue snapping turtle?
Yeah. Yeah, I had him. I think that was it. I don't think that it... Yeah. Love the cartoon, but any time that I went to the toy store, it was G.I. Joe's for me. So, if it was like, alright, pick up a Ninja Turtle or a G.I. Joe. And if I remember correctly... And
actually, you probably get two G.I. Joes for the price of two, one Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, that was the thing. Then. Like, if I remember correctly, the Turtles were a little bit more expensive. And so, anytime that whoever... Parents, grandparents.
I mean, like, I look right, at...
You can spend $7. I will get two of these. Eh, who cares about turtles?
Like, for me, it was... You know, same thing with He-Man. And I think this is the thing. They're kind of that legacy of He-Man. A lot of the same designers that were working on He-Man towards the end of the line went to the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And worked on those. And one of the designers that worked on... He had worked on He-Man, worked on Ninja Turtles... And they brought him back in to design the four Ninja Turtles for this new line.
Hmm.
The first ones that came out. So that was kind of cool. But those toys were... One of the reasons I always liked them, He-Man specifically, is in a small child's hand, like a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, like those figures, like, just fill their hand.
Yeah.
They're bulky. They're really great. I mean, they just feel really meaty. They did the same thing with the Ninja Turtles. As opposed to a G.I. Joe that I could take a handful and put like 5 of them in my hand and be like, hey, maybe not 5, but...
That's not how you're supposed to play with them.
I know
like,
that.
When I was playing with G.I. Joes, I would spend hours setting up these elaborate play sets like all across the room. You know, I would have strings tying things for grappling hooks. I set the stage when I played with my G.I. Joes. I wasn't just picking them up in my hands and smashing them together.
See, I've got 2 hours.
Yeah, me playing with G.I. Joes was not I'm going to go play with my toys for a little bit. It's like, alright, I'm going to set up a battle scene. And like, I would go for, my parents would call me for dinner, go eat, come back to right where I was. Like, yeah, it was very elaborate.
But I did like that. I've always liked the colors that they used. I mean, same thing with He-Man. I mean, they used really vibrant colors. If you go, if you could get into my room to look at my shelves that had all my He-Man stuff on it, you'd see lots of colors. You'd see just like this rainbow of plastic. The Ninja Turtles was the same way. Every character had a vibrant color scheme. They had a vibrant color scheme with their weapons. It's really neat. I mean, the way it was all...
Snake Eyes was black.
Yeah.
my favorite character is probably the least colorful of all of the toy
And then there's
lines.
That one version where they, like, splash all this color on him.
Hate that one. Where he has, like...
He has the ski mask.
Well, there's one where he has, like, blue hand grenades.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why... Why, if you're being a ninja?
I always liked that version of him. Probably for that reason.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
It was all bright and colorful. For me, it's like, what are you doing? They can see you now. I'm going to go sneak around in the night. Oh, wait, I need to make sure to have my Dayglow hand grenades on me.
Well, that's the thing with the G.I. Joe line. At the very end of the line, everything became neon and orange and pink.
Well, it's because it was in the 90s.
Well, yeah. And then if you splash water on them, it even became more neon and orange and pink.
Now, that was pretty cool on... there was one dreadnought. I forget which one it was. But, yeah, like, you would put them in water, and they would get tattoos.
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty cool. You know, stupid, but yeah, kind of cool.
There's a new Ninja Turtle figure that does that. It's like, there's two of them. Shadow Leonardo and Shadow Michelangelo. And if you put them in water, the shadows go off of them. It just looks like they're really dirty.
Huh.
It's really weird.
One... So, speaking of the toy lines and the tie-in with shows and all that stuff, there's one episode of the Nickelodeon cartoon where they're playing, like, a Dungeons and Dragons fantasy
LARPing. Dungeons and Dranacy?
Well, yes.
Dungeons and Dramamine!
Wait, no, that's a different thing. No, where they're doing the LARPing and, like, they're dressing up as their characters... And they came out with the toys of
characters. Oh, yeah, they're amazing.
Oh, my God, I love them. Because it felt like they were starting to do the old school, like, just pulling in all these weird random characters.
Which is kind of crappy, and that's really the depth of the line.
Yeah. With that.
But it did tie in with it. And yeah. They've done several of those in the new line.
Several of which?
Those kinds of Ninja Turtle kind of things. They did, I'm not sure how many of them were actually in the show or not, but, they've done several different variations on the Ninja Turtles. Now it's starting to get a little silly, because you have, like, stick out your tongue Michelangelo.
Yeah.
And eye popping Leonardo.
Really?
And then spitting Michelangelo and Raphael, and... Poor Donnie doesn't get any, like, variants. Michelangelo has, like, 7 variants that there aren't other ones of. There's, like, Bug Michelangelo, where he's, like, made this bug costume. There's Savage Michelangelo. There's just tons of them.
No, I'm pretty sure those are some of his characters, though.
Like, they are.
Yeah.
No, they are in the cartoon.
Yeah.
But the idea is they don't have other turtles to go along with them. In the classic line, they would always release them in fours.
In the cartoon... Michelangelo does a lot of really crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So.
This is true.
But. Yeah. Any other ramblings on the
Ninja Turtles? No, I don't think so. I think we've probably rambled way too long already. about a little bit of nothing.
Yeah.
But
we talked about the turtles. That was the main focus of turtles, our nothingness.
That works out. But I think that's it.
Yeah. So, for the Sci-Fighters, I'm Nathan.
And I'm Ashley. And we'll see you soon.